All right. Today we are going to be talking about why we study Scripture. We started last week, if you were here last week, why we follow Jesus. And sometimes we just do things because we kind of are supposed to know we do them. But when we kind of dig a little bit deeper, there we go. I thought he was coming up to answer another question. Yeah, so. All right. We learn a little bit more. Now, there's an outline there. And if you guys, if you're here for the first time or you're not in our growth groups, what happens is your growth group leaders, they have some questions to take this a little bit deeper and hopefully discuss it. And one of the things I ask the growth group leaders, our hosts, if you guys come up with like, man, that was really weird or something isn't understood, in order to make me like a better communicator, please let me know. Like if everybody comes back next week and says, oh, we don't have to study Scripture, they really weren't listening. But anyway, it is a great way for you to get to know people in your church, but also a great way to deepen kind of what's going to happen here in the next few minutes. So I want to start by kind of a story that's one of those preacher stories. It's probably never really happened, but it makes a good story. There was this guy, he didn't really know too much about the Bible, but he was working, and he worked with a couple different people that did know something about the Bible. And he heard him talking one time, and he didn't really want to talk to him too much, because he thought, if I start talking to him, then they're going to start preaching to me. All right? So anyway, but he heard him talking. You know, one of them would say, man, I really don't know what to do. And the guy says, well, when I want to know what to do with my life, and I need an answer from God, I just kind of open up the Bible. I just pray and open up the Bible, and I look, and I read the first thing. And so many times, that's just the perfect answer. And he's like, oh, that's a good idea. So this guy, he heard that, and he was having some struggles in his life. So he thought, you know what? I'm going to try that. He had his Bible. He blew off the dust, and he said, God, help give me the right answer. And he closed his eyes, and he opened up his Bible, and it fell open to Matthew chapter 27, verse 5. That says, then he went away and he hanged himself. So he thought, surely that can't be the answer. You know, maybe I need to pray more. So he closed the Bible and he goes, God, you know, I really don't think that's the answer. I really need a better answer. So, and then he opened his Bible, and this time he opened to Luke chapter 10, verse 37, and it said, go and do likewise. Has anyone ever heard that joke before? Yeah, all right, yeah, that's a good old preacher joke, but it is kind of funny. We chuckle at it and think how silly it is. But how many of us really sometimes do that? You're going through something, you know, and you just kind of open up the Bible and you're hoping you understand it. And, you know, what that leads to is a little bit of something that can really be a very, very bad theology. Because this guy, you know, that is really not what Scripture is for. There's a lot of verses out there, and I hear them a lot. And the other day, was in the office, and there was a couple people in there. And we write down all these verses that are kind of misused a lot in our culture. And we live in a culture where we like short sayings, okay? You know, we hashtag everything. You know, now, and we have these very, very short sayings, and sometimes we get a little lazy in doing that. Here are some kind of all-time favorites of mine, that scriptures that if I really asked the people if they knew where they were or what they were about, they probably wouldn't. Here is one. This is athletes use it all the time. I've seen it on the NBA, on tennis shoes, on helmets, even painted on the faces of football players. All right, don't think about the playoffs, all you NFL people. Hold on. Get back with me. Philippians 4:13. Anyone know what that says? Through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. And you know, sometimes people, you know, and they put that down there, and it almost becomes something that, you know, well, this means that I can score a touchdown, or I can dunk a basketball, or I can do all these things. Listen, I don't care how many times you repeat that. That's really not the context. And a lot of people say, I don't even know what a Philippian is, but I know Philippians 4:13, right? Another one that is used, and hold on, if I hit a nerve, just hang with me a second, okay? Jeremiah 29:11, does anyone know what that one is? Okay? You guys are like the kids. Betty. Yeah. What is it, Betty? prosper you. Okay? All right. This one, how many have seen that or heard that verse of scripture? Okay? You know, now I'm going to tell you, I believe God has great things in store for us. But if you would know that he's talking about Israel, after I destroy your nation and wipe you out, I am going to help save you. That's the context of that. But see, there's a danger in just taking that and thinking, God's saying, put that on a graduation gift. And that's a guarantee that God's going to make you happy and wealthy and everything's going to go well with you, okay? Another one, and I talked about this last week. This is my favorite song to attack that we sing sometimes is Romans 8:28. It says, Romans 8:28 says, God works all things together for the good. We didn't like that. We changed the word to my good, you know, in the song that we sing, and we changed it back here. Have we changed it back, Jessica? We're back to the good. You know, sometimes people use that verse and they'll say, oh, in Romans 8:28, it says that God's going to work all things together for my good. So I know I'm going to get this job. I know I'm going to be healed of this disease. I know I'm never going to have a problem. Listen, that's not what that scripture's talking about. That scripture's talking about God, even in the times that look dark and bad and suffering in our life, God will work all things. Even how many have really messed up in life and maybe walked away a little bit here and there from God? And God really even has worked that out. That God wants to work all things out for not your good. Because listen, here's the big news of the sermon today. We're not at the center of the universe. Okay? I'm not and you're not. And God is not our genie in the Bible that we read a few scriptures here and there and he's going to do everything for us. Okay? It's not about us. And so those are just some of those. So anyway, in saying that, I believe that God has a purpose for our life, that God does care for us, that God's word can guide us. But we have to be very careful because sometimes we just read the Bible. Sometimes because we have Bibles that have been divided into chapters and verses that didn't happen for 1,000 years. I hope you guys know that Paul didn't say, okay, now let's write chapter 2, verse 1. You know, that's not how it was a letter. The Bible was not divided up. But sometimes, because we have it so organized in chapters and verses that we memorize this and that, and we really don't know what comes before or after. You know, I would even ask how many people know what John 3:17 says, or John 3:15, but we certainly know John 3:16. And I'm not saying it's not good to memorize as it is, but it is so important that we understand the context of what's given. There's a couple things that I've written down here we need to. There's a couple questions, and just raise your hand, and that's okay. Growth group leaders never do this to your group. Okay, here's a really bad question that I have heard in Bible studies. We'll read a scripture, a verse of scripture, and we'll ask, let's go around the room and say, what does this mean to you? Okay, thank you. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? Anybody ever been in a Bible study where you read the Bible and what does this mean to you? Let me tell you something. It really doesn't matter what it means to you. Because we can't read a passage of scripture and determine, well, it means this to Steve, it means this to me, and it means that to Jessica, and they're all right. Because we live in a world, somehow we live in this chaotic world where we believe that's true. That Steve can have his truth, John can have his truth, and Jessica can have her truth. You know, and that is a terrible question to ask. The better question to ask is this, what is meant by the writer to the people who received it? Now that sounds boring, right? And one thing we don't want to be is boring. But folks, it's more important to understand when we talk about studying the Bible, because a lot of people, how many started a Bible reading program? That's good. You know, by New Year, a lot of people maybe start a Bible reading program. But as we read through that, there's a lot of things we have to overcome. First of all, we have to overcome the fact that, I should have wrote bigger notes here. You know, we have to overcome the fact that Scripture was written 2,000 years ago. Scripture was written in a place 5,000 miles away from us. Scripture was written in a culture that isn't a modern technical culture. Okay? Just a question. Don't answer out loud. If I say, be kind, rewind, does anyone know what that means? okay? Probably, if you know what that means, you're a little older. How many, it doesn't make any sense, be kind, rewind? Yeah, Maggie? See, Maggie don't know. You know why Maggie don't know? Because that doesn't matter. How many remember a thing called VHS? Remember those? They were those things that we don't even buy anymore called DVDs. We don't buy those anymore, right? We stream stuff. Hallelujah. A lot of that stuff can just be thrown out now. We don't need it. But VHS, when they came out, it was just this incredible thing. You could go to what was called a movie store, a video store, and you could go and you could check out a video, and you put it in there, you know, and then, you know, it gets caught in there, you know, and you have to use your, you unplug it before you put the fork in to get it out. But what happened? Those video stores, people would watch a movie, slap it back in the case and return it, and they wouldn't rewind. So there became these little, remember, little stickers? Be kind, rewind. And then they started, you know, when they could start taking your credit, they would charge you a dollar if they had to rewind it themselves. And Laura and I, there was a time when we had to go into the video store and pay our bill because we turned them late, you know, and all that. I don't know how many VHS we bought just because we didn't take them back, okay? It's such a shameful thing to go in and be the preacher and owe $35 in fees. But see, look how quick our culture changes, that we don't even understand some phrases that are in our language, in our generation. So when we study the Bible, we got to come to understand that, listen, the Bible wasn't written to a modern culture with all this technology. It wasn't written in English. It wasn't written in a Western European mindset. It was written long time ago. Some of it 3,000 or longer ago. Most of the New Testament was written 2,000 years ago. So, and we got to understand, and what that means is we can't just read it and immediately apply it. That we have to do this thing called study the Bible and understand the Bible, because here it's so important for us to understand that if we're going to have a correct view of God, we have to have a correct interpretation of Scripture, right? And that really doesn't sell, because that takes work, that takes time. But I maintain most of the problems in the church today are because we have an inaccurate interpretation of Scripture. And we have those because we are concerned as a culture with me, with self-centered, and what is best for me. And you know what it's going to take? It's going to take one thing. Well, let's call it two things if we're going to accurately study the Bible. Two things are time and effort. And how many of you have extra time and effort laying around somewhere? So it's very important for us to understand why it's so important for us to understand the Bible. It's, I wrote this sentence down. It says, however, Scripture that is properly understood produces a living, vibrant faith. I run into people so many times that, my faith is dead. You know, and they might religiously read the Bible but have no understanding of it. But if we properly understand Scripture, you will have a living, vibrant faith. And you will know that you have a loving Heavenly Father who loves you, and He will guide you throughout this life, mountains and valleys. So I want to talk about this morning real quick, and I want to have some scriptures that talk about some reasons why we should study the Bible. But one of my all-time favorite illustrations is this. It's an illustration given by a guy, and some of you have heard it here before, just because when I read this book and read this illustration, it really hit me on why God had to become man. Did any of you ever kind of ask, why did God choose to become a man in Jesus Christ? Okay, as you study Scripture, you'll see as God spoke in the Old Testament, as He carved out this nation of Israel and told them how they were supposed to believe in that. If you read the Old Testament, one thing we get is the nation of Israel messed it up. They didn't become the holy nation God wanted them to be, right? But God's plan through that one day He would become a man. And the best way I've ever heard this explained is in a book by Philip Yancey. And Philip Yancey, and I put on your growth group leaders, I put the link to the story he tells. He was living in Chicago, Illinois. He was writing, I think, for the Chicago Tribune at this time. And he had bought a saltwater aquarium. And he bought this saltwater aquarium in Chicago because in Chicago, well, it's Chicago number one. Who would want it? But anyway, we won't go there. All right. But it was dreary winter, so he thought, man, if I can have a little piece of the tropics here. So he bought the saltwater aquarium. He put all the fish in it of all the colors. And then he found out it's pretty tough to have a saltwater aquarium. I mean, we do well to feed our dog. I cannot imagine a saltwater aquarium. We'd just be having fish to eat. I know that. But so he said he had to make sure all the chemicals were right, the temperatures were right, the food was right, and all these things. And he spent all his time and effort making sure everything was great in their world so his fish would survive. And he said, despite doing all these things and taking all this time to care for these fish, every time he would pass by the aquarium, what did the fish do? They didn't applaud him with their fins. They didn't look at him, and they hid. And he understood in that moment that if he was ever going to be able to really tell the fish how much he really cared for them, how much he loved them, how much he was going to take care of them in their world, one thing would have to happen. He would have to become a fish and enter into their world and to explain to them things they could not understand and explain to them who he really was. And when we look at the incarnation of God, why God became flesh was the very same reason. Because if we look at how God revealed himself in the Old Testament, it was overpowering. And the Jewish nation, while they wanted to follow him, they didn't know how. They were scared and there was fear. So God revealed himself as a human being. He became a man and walked among us, showing us how much he loved us, how much he cared, and his will for his life. Now, this is all revealed in Scripture. And as we look through that, I want to give you some things this morning that are really important about Scripture. Number one, and you can write down these Scriptures and look at those and read those this week. We'll read briefly some of those. But number one, reason why it's important to study Scripture is this. Scripture reveals who God really is. Okay? Scripture reveals who God really is. If we do not have Scripture, then we are left to just general revelation. We talked about that a little bit last week. Listen, you can look at creation and you can understand there's some sort of divine being. Unless you want to ignore the facts, unless you want to ignore science, the most reasonable thing to look at is when we look at the world and how things work and how we even as human beings work, there is a divine creator. But that is not enough. Because you look at that and there's every culture from since dawn of man has believed in some sort of God or gods, but they all get it wrong because they start with their own interpretation. One of the things we have in Scripture, it describes who God really is. It reveals who he is. And that's so important. Now let me say this, and this is something really pay attention to. When we think about Scripture, when we think about Jewish Scripture, Old Testament, when we think about the New Testament, our covenant with God, when we look at that, I want you to understand this. And this might, if you, we have people who almost worship the Bible. Now let me tell you something. We do not worship the Bible. Okay? We worship the God who the Bible reveals to us. You see the difference? There's some people that just really, they worship this. Listen, all this is a vehicle to reveal who God is. That's what the Bible is. The Bible reveals to us who God is. That's why it's so important. We just don't read it. We just don't accept what we've learned about it. We just don't believe what someone else said, that we have to go to the Word of God, understand it properly, so it can reveal to us who God is. Because this is important. Ready? If we misunderstand Scripture, we misunderstand God. You know why there's all these opinions and differences? It's because people misunderstand what Scripture is. That's why it's so important. Christian church, one of the things that used to point out people who went to the Christian church as they were started in the early 1800s was they were people of the book. Because at that time in the early 1800s, people did this really strange thing. Listen, it never happens here, right? What they used to do In the old days, as they'd get up, they'd go to church, and the preacher would tell them everything they need to know, and they would leave, and they'd go on with their real life during the week, and next week they'd come back to church. Preacher would tell them what to do that week, and they'd leave. And if they ever had a question, they'd ask the preacher. But there became this idea that, listen, we're all a priesthood of believers, and we all have an obligation to understand the Word of God. I'm not the Bible answer man. Okay? Now listen, God has blessed me to be able in a time and place and go to schools and be in a place where God's given me a lot more time to study this. And that's my gift here to the church to do that. But it is important that we realize that we have developed that. There was a time the people in the Christian church in our origins were known as people of the book. They would know Scripture. They'd be able to understand Scripture. They'd be able to turn to passages and tell you why it says this, this, and this. They'd be able to tell you, why do we take communion every Sunday? Why do we baptize by immersion? Why do we believe this and this? Why do we believe that? But you know what? Over the last couple hundred years, we developed into people sometimes that come to church, sit, you get your feeding, and you go out, and you digest all week, and you come back next week. It's important if you're going to really understand God, and if you're struggling with God being the man upstairs ready for you to step out of line and zap you, you have a misunderstanding of Scripture that has given you a false view of God. So it's very important. So one of the major reasons why it's important that you study Scripture is that you understand who God is. Here's a couple of scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says this: all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When he says Scripture there, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he's telling Timothy that what I'm writing to you is Scripture. All Scripture is what, does it say? Is God-breathed. That means it comes from the mouth of God. Now listen, it came from the mouth of God, but it was written in a context so men can understand it. And the context it was written in was first century, Roman Empire in charge, Jewish people. So guess what we got to understand if we're going to understand it? We got to understand first century, Jewish culture, Roman Empire. And we got to understand, because when God says something, it's important that it's what he means to say, not how we take it. Kind of like this teenage boy who one time his mom said, John, you clean your room. I'm going to be home to check on it after work. So what I decided to do, I would gather around my friends and we'd begin to have a study of what mom meant. Well, what do you think mom meant when she said, clean your room? Well, it was addressed to you, so it's yours. And then, well, what is clean? Well, what clean to me means I throw everything under the bed, therefore it's clean. Okay? And a friend said, I don't know, let's come back next week and pray about it. Okay? Do you think that is the reaction that mom wanted? Do you think my definition of clean mattered according to what mom's definition of clean is, right? See, it's pretty easy to understand. Our job isn't just to come together and guess what God meant or try to spirit. I think she just wanted it to be clean, meaning fresh. And clean what makes you happy. See, but how often do we do that when we come to Scripture? We take what our definition, what we think, what we call holy, what we call normal, what we call good, and we put that on there. Well, what's important? It's important what God means when he says it. So it's very important for us to understand that. Here's another scripture on this. Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 4, verse 12. Great passage. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to divide the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Listen, when we understand Scripture, we get a clear picture of God. And without a clear picture of God, you're going to misunderstand God. So it's very important that we get that. Second one, it leads right into that. I believe the church is so divided because of this. The second part, the second reason we study Scripture is Scripture provides us with answers that guide our life. Okay, how many have ever been on vacation to someplace you've never been before and you've driven there? Okay, let's say that you guys, I just gave you guys a couple $1,000 and said, go take a vacation. Here's the car. It's gassed up. Go to your favorite place, Florida, California, Mount Rushmore, Grand Canyon. Let's say a place you've never been. Who would like to go on a vacation? Where's somewhere you'd like to go that you've never been? Someone just tell me an answer. Steve, where would you like to go that you've never been? Anywhere. Johnny Cash, he's been everywhere, man. All right, yeah, okay. Australia, okay. All right, anybody? Where do you want to go, Peyton? Disney World? Okay, all right. Now, the first thing you're going to do, you could do this trip a couple different ways, right? You're going to some place you've never been. Let's say it's Disney World. Land or world? What'd she say? World, okay. Land, yeah, so that's where, yeah, okay. That's out there on the left coast. All right. You're going to Disney World. First thing she's going to do, you can hop in the car and just start driving. We know it's south, right? Kind of south of us. Let's just get in the car. We got a compass. Let's just drive south. We'll make it. Right? How many would start that way? I know some of us guys would like to do that, okay? Yeah? That's how we run our lives on this and sometimes how we run our lives spiritually. No, the first thing we would do for you older folks in here, we would get something we used to call that was folded several different ways. What is it called? A map. Never used anymore. Maps is an app, okay? We'd get a map and we'd map it out. And if I was, man, I like maps, and I would, okay, we're going to stop here before we get here. And this, you know, 15 minute, the old, you know, Chevy Chase thing, map it all out and all that kind of stuff. We'd get a map, all right? What will we do right now? What do you do now? It's so you Google it. Yeah, you'd Google where's it at, and you'd find the address, and then what you do? Siri, take me to. I don't know who Siri is, but she's going to get you there. And we GPS it, all right? And we just go, okay? Because we have something to guide us, right? Now, it would be kind of foolish. You would probably, some of us are wise enough if we just took off and headed south and asked directions along the way, eventually we'd get there to find out it's closed and turn around because vacation's over, okay? But listen, if we have the address, we know where we're going and we got directions, it makes it a lot easier, right, guys? So here's the deal. The Bible is that too. Not only does it reveal who God is, but it provides us the roadmap. It tells us where we need to go. And some of us have approached our life with, well, I'll just go. I'm going to turn 18. I can do what I want to do. Then you go, oh, man, what do I do now? You know, usually that's when you get your first call back, right, parents? And you're happy they still need you. Okay. Insurance. I have to have insurance. You haven't wrecked the car yet, have you? You know, you know, and you kind of, but see, some of us go through our life with no plan. And we just kind of wait till we're humble enough to say, GPS, take me to Disney World. See, God's word, not only, and this is an incredible thing, we read about it being active, is it's alive and active, and it gives us the roadmap. It gives us the guidelines. It tells us what it means to be holy. It tells us where you're going, how to get there. How do you become a good husband? How do you become a good father? How do you become a good pastor? Whatever it is. There's the guidelines. That's why we need it. And listen, the best time to consult the map is before you get behind the wheel, right? Don't do it while you're driving. How many of us older guys have done that? You know, you're driving and you grab right through Alabama to grab the steering wheel. Okay? But the idea here, and there's some scriptures that talk about that. I think we sang one of them this morning. A couple of scriptures that are great about this. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 says, for this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light for correction and instruction on the way of life. I love those two words, correction and instruction. Correction implies what? You've made a mistake. Same passage we read earlier, Timothy, the word of God is good to rebuke, correct. So sometimes when you read the Bible, guess what's going to happen? You need to do a U-turn. The Bible calls this repentance. Sometimes there needs to be some correction in your life. That might be one reason we don't like to consult the map. We'd rather figure it out ourselves. You know, and finally you're humbled and said, honey, get the map out of the glove box. All right? Or honey, get off Facebook and get the GPS up, all right? Whatever it is. The other word is instruction. All right? And there's all kinds of illustrations with this. The best time to read the instructions is beforehand. Listen, the Bible is correction, instruction. Psalm 119, 105. We know this one. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If we neglect scripture, we are trying to live our lives spiritually without directions. And you might muddle through, but no one else is going to enjoy the journey, including yourself, right? So how many of you are trying to muddle through this thing called Christianity without knowing scripture? That's why it's important. It's not about church attendance. It's not about just reading scripture. It's about studying scripture, because as you study scripture, you get the directions and the corrections given to you. Okay? Last one. Scripture restores and strengthens our faith. Let me give you the most practical thing about scripture. Ready? The more you're in scripture, the less you're going to sin. Right? Anyone amen? Trace it back to the time when you've been involved in sinful behavior. I will tell you, and it's magical, it's mystical. The word of God is living and active. Something happens, even if you don't feel it, you don't have to feel it. But when you're in the word of God, something happens, because the word of God is the word of God. It is God breathed. When you're out of the word of God, guess what happens? All these other messages start flashing around. You pay a little more attention to what everybody else is doing, what they're saying, and what they're saying and doing seems more appealing. But when we're in scripture, scripture begins to restore and strengthen our faith. And it is so important, because all of us need, that's why we're continually in scripture. Listen, you don't go out, grow, you don't graduate from Sunday school, okay? You don't graduate and say, you know, I know enough about the Bible. I got a degree. Big deal. A lot of degrees are going to be burning. Okay? It is important we understand one of the reasons why we study scripture is because it gives us faith. It restores our faith. Listen, I love our men's Sunday school class, 9 o'clock, because I could just see, and we talk about it and how it just makes so much more sense. Because see, guys, we don't come by it naturally, ladies. Betty always has 20 or 30 prayer requests. Ladies are sharing everything. Guys, I'm prying out of them. They could be, you know, 1 foot in the grave, and I'm not going to ask for prayer. I'm a man. Okay, you know. Right, guys? If I get you to come to class, all right, I won't look at anybody, all right? But the idea is, as we get in that class and as we're studying scriptures, every guy will tell you, man, it's a lot easier to believe. Man, this makes a lot more sense. This is just not something to make me feel better, but it takes time and effort. The greatest story, the greatest sermon Jesus ever preached was Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Sermon on the Mount. And he closes it with some awesome illustrations. He says, there's a wise man and a foolish man. Wise man, it's a beautiful day. It's on the beach. I'm going to build my house. He builds him a little bamboo house. It looks good. He's drinking a Mai Tai or whatever. Virgin Mai Tai. Okay, all right. The other guy, he's sweating like crazy because he's digging a foundation. And this guy, you're an idiot, man. Enjoy the weather. Listen, weather's good, ocean's flat. Man keeps working, keeps working, keeps working. And sometimes he's thinking, why am I doing all this? I would like to have one of those Mai Tai and spike, you know. But then he gets a foundation built and he builds his house. And then the storm comes. There's only one house up. Listen, studying scripture is a proactive way to deal with your sin. If you're struggling with sin, I'm just going to probably go out on a limb here and say, you're probably not in scripture. And if you're in scripture, it's kind of ritualistic and you're not understanding it. God has blessed us in a great way here with a lot of great people that have a lot of experience in the word of God. And we need to help one another. That's one of the reasons we have this church. Remember this guy named the Ethiopian eunuch? I don't think that was his real name, but we know him by that in Acts chapter 8. He's reading scripture. And God tells Philip, hey, Philip, go up to that chariot. Philip hears the scripture. You know what Philip asks? He goes, do you understand what you're reading? And what is the eunuch answer? He says, no. How can I understand unless someone explains it to him? Therefore, showing us what it's about to be the part of the body of Christ. He was reading scripture, but he didn't understand it. And I guarantee there's people in this room right now that says, I don't read scripture because when I read it, I don't understand it. I get confused. I feel stupid. So therefore, a way not to feel stupid is not to read it any longer. And they abandon it. and slowly they lose their faith. Listen, there was a humility thing. This Ethiopian eunuch, if we read that, he was like the treasurer, okay? He was secretary of the treasury. He wasn't an idiot. And he was a believer, but he needed some help. And God sent Philip to help him. And as a result of that, probably the first Christian nation in Africa was Ethiopia. The word of God spread down there. So it's very important for us to understand Scripture, because Scripture will strengthen and restore our faith. Listen to what it says here. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. Without knowing Scripture, let me tell you something really, really, one of these little sentences here that you need to pay attention to. Without studying Scripture, your faith is dependent on your willpower, your tradition, and your emotion. That's why sometimes churches depend way too much on that. They depend on emotion, okay? We got to have a killer illustration here. We got to have something that's going to make people cry. We got to have some way to motivate them to give to missions. We got to have, you know, some sort of sermon, you know, where the preacher just weeps in front of it, you know. And you know, nothing wrong with weeping if you mean it, weeping, okay? But man, we appeal a lot to emotion when it comes to faith. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's the foundation, it's not going to be a solid faith. It's not a good foundation. If your foundation is tradition, well, that's what I always done. That's what I'm going to do. That's where I'm going to go. I don't know why. Just a car, get up, and I go there on Sunday. It drives itself. Okay? Tradition isn't going to get it. And your self-discipline only will last so long. Okay? So your faith has to be built on understanding properly what Scripture is. Okay? So, just a couple of real practical things I wrote down this morning. Number one, when it helps strengthen our faith, because number one, it helps silence the other voices. This is a voice of truth. Scripture is what you need. You have to run everything you hear about life and in life has to be run through Scripture. Number two, Scripture makes your choice really, really easy. It's a lot simpler. I don't know what I should do. I feel like I should do this. And they feel, it doesn't matter what you feel like. That's okay. Scripture makes it easy. Because when you know Scripture, a lot of it's a lot more black and white. And a lot of you know it's black and white. But you don't want to read Scripture because it'll become black and white. And you like black over white. That makes sense? I don't know. We'll listen to that. It keeps me from sinning. And it gives me hope and peace in the valleys. Because one thing, and this is in your small groups, you're going to get to share hopefully a story or an event from Scripture that has helped you. Because one thing, when I read Scripture, when I'm in a rough time in life, when I'm maybe in one of those valleys, Scripture helps show me that, okay, even if you're a young man sold by your brothers and you're falsely accused and you're thrown in prison, if I stay faithful, God will be there. Story of Joseph. He kept going, well, God, why now? I've been faithful. I've been faithful. Anyone ever do that? You're doing the right thing. You're making the right choices. And it just seems you go from prison to falsely accused. You're thinking, my goodness. Read the story of Joseph. Because you know what? Joseph stayed faithful because he knew he had a faithful God. One thing, when you read Scripture, you'll find out God is faithful even when we are faithless. And that's a pretty good story because, look, we're faithless sometimes, right? So it strengthens us. Now, I am going to tell a story. Tony Schwarm, are you in here? Yeah. Do you have your handouts for me? Not yet. Okay. Well, we're going to have to do it. We'll do that one next week then. Okay. But one thing I want to do, and Tony's going to get them to us. He'll have them here Wednesday. So Wednesday, you're going to have to volunteer for something. We start Upward Basketball this coming Saturday. Okay? And that Upward Basketball, I think we have about 20 teams. The teams consist maybe from 5 to 8 kids, I'm not for sure, on a team, something like that. And we're going to hand out, and you're going to pray for those kids. Because one thing Scripture tells us, which we do not understand, is we are called to pray for people. And your prayers for kids you don't even know will make a huge difference. How do I know? Because Scripture says so, and we've experienced that. So I'll tell you a little story here. Robin's here. Say hi, Robin. Robin is Laura's sister. They're both here, okay? And there's a story about them that I got to be in on. When Laura and I were, I think, were we dating or married? It's been so, were we married? Holy cow, we were kids. Okay. All right, we had just gotten married, and we are on the way up to Chicago with a class from St. Louis Christian College, and my professor had a grandma who lived in Springfield, Illinois, and he says, oh, my grandma loves kids. So, and I knew I was a kid. I was a married kid, but I was still a kid. So we stopped off to use the restroom at her house and just let grandma see all of us. And she looked at Laura, and she says, do I know you? And Laura says, I don't know, my name's Laura Blackmore. Well, my name was Laura King. And she goes, oh, are you from Washville, where Laura grew up? And I told Laura to agree with everything I said in the story. She'll tell you how accurate I am here, but this I know is true. So anyway, she goes, oh, you're Laura King and your sister is Robin. So now we're officially getting freaked out. Okay, like, okay, how does this old lady in Springfield know who we are, know who she is? Okay. And she began to say she remembers a day long ago when she was visiting a country church in Illinois. And these, you know, that day when the country, they were the kids that ran around, okay? Okay, their parents didn't come. But their new grandmother, when they came into the family, says, oh, I'm going to take these girls to church with me. So they brought them to church. And at that church, this one elderly lady, who probably has been old your whole life, okay? But she says, well, who are these two little girls? You know how you do that? People, who are they coming here? What are they? You know, did James and Kim adopt a few others? You know, or, you know, whatever. You know, so she said, who are these two little girls? And this lady was told the story about these two girls who are the new granddaughters of Wilma. And she decided that day, she heard a little bit of their story and their background, she was going to pray for these two little girls. And she began to pray for those little girls. What? Probably 12 years later, as an adult, Laura walks into there and she tells her the story. I've been praying for you and your sister your whole life. So the Word of God is living and active. The Word of God tells us to pray. And listen, upward basketball isn't about playing basketball. Everything we do is about something else. One of the things we need to do, and you don't know, one day you might run into them and they'll think you're really old. And you'll run into them, and one of them might be a guest speaker here, and you'll say, oh, I remember your name. Oh, I prayed for you in one season of upward basketball. So that's why it's important that we take these names of these kids, and we find people that are going to be faithful about that, and you pray for them. How many of you, in the silence of your own home, not knowing anything, can actually take a list of 8 kids and pray for them? Every one of you can. So we're going to pray for them. Because we don't want to just to be something we do, activity to fill the building on Saturday. That's not what it's about. It's about something greater than that. Everything we do is, it's not about giving away backpacks. It's not just about buying medicines for kids in Africa. It's not about anything like that. What it is about is bringing kids before the Lord and changing their eternities. Because I believe part of why these girls ended up where they ended up is, man, they weren't on that track. They were Mount Olive Street kids. Okay? All right? Was someone prayed for them. She'll forgive me. I don't know about Laura, but Robin will. But here's the deal. That's what we're about. That's why I love having our kids in here. They're going to remember that. We're going to pray for them. You pray for their kids. You pray for those parents. You pray for them. Listen, eternities are changed because people take the time to pray. Listen, we study Scripture so we can understand this God who really, really does love us. Amen? And when you understand Scripture properly, you'll get an understanding of God. And when you understand God, you'll understand this. He loves you. You'll understand He's faithful. You understand He has an incredible purpose for your life. You understand He forgives you, even if you struggle with forgiving yourself. You understand that He wants to use you, and even if you're not perfect. And you understand you have a purpose and meaning beyond what you can ever, ever imagine. And we all understand this. Here it is. God wins. We win. Man, if I'm going into a game, and they're choosing teams, and I know definitely this team is going to win, You know who I'm going to, what team I'm going to be on? I don't want to be a superstar on a team that loses. Okay? Because we never remember that. I want to be on the team that wins. And God's going to win this thing. And we need to understand that. And you understand that when you understand Scripture. Let's stand and pray. And then we're going to sing a song to dismiss this. Take a few minutes afterwards, go out, and then in a few minutes afterwards, we'll have our partners meeting here. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for an opportunity to gather around to look at your word. Father, I pray that we would understand Scripture, that we would take the time and effort to build a foundation so we can understand who you are. Father, I pray that we would understand that it provides, Scripture provides us a framework and the guidelines and the directions for this life so we can enjoy this life in such a greater way. Many of us have been lost in this life and we've needed your direction. Father, I pray that we would understand Scripture so we'd know our direction. And Father, I pray we would read Scripture and understand Scripture so our faith can become stronger, so it can be vibrant and living and actually change the world through it. Father, I pray you bless this time we have here, Father, together in a few minutes as we discuss where you're taking us as a church. Father, I thank you for today. I ask that you bless everyone here, each household represented. Father, help us be people of your word once again. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.